James, James chapter 3, and the first 13 verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. And our second reading is from Proverbs. Chapter 12, verses 17 to 22. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No harm overtakes the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. This is God's word. And now I'd like to call on Michael Littleveld. He's going to bring God's word to us. He's from St Andrew's Presbyterian Church, and his sermon is entitled Wise Speech.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for inviting me here to speak tonight. So let's pray as we look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Lord's Day, a day that we can set aside for the worship of you, and a day of rest, a day of thinking upon the things of God. And Father, at this afternoon service, Lord, we do pray, Father, that you'll help us to be able to concentrate, to open our minds and to think upon your word. Father, we pray too that you'll help us to open our hearts and receive the truth that's contained within your word. Father, we pray to you, the living God, and you've given us a living word. Father, it's just pages, words on pages without your spirit. So we do ask that your spirit will be active and alive in us as we engage with the scriptures. Father, we pray that you'll speak to each of us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be sanctified, Lord, and particularly our tongue, Lord. Sanctify our tongue and use this message in that process, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. In Greek mythology, Proteus was a prophetic sea god. As a mythological monster, he had the power to change into many shapes and take on different appearances. For example, he could become a lion or a leopard, a serpent or a pig, a tree, water, or even a pebble. He seemed to have little difficulty in passing from one form to another. Derived from Proteus is our English word protean, meaning that which is changeable in shape or form. Now that fable creature Proteus reminds me of the human tongue and its ability to change. You see, our tongue can bless or it can curse. It can express praise or whisper slander. It can speak a word of encouragement or spread the poison of vindictive hatred. This talk is part of a series from Proverbs called The Wise Life, and this afternoon we're going to be looking at our speech. Proverbs 18:20-21 says, "From the fruit of their mouth a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The wisdom from this proverb is saying the tongue has a power of life or death. Wise speech provides, you know, a life-giving relationships, but the tongue also has the power of death. It's a relationship killer. You see, our speech matters. Our speech matters. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Jesus reminds us the words that come out of our mouth reveal something about the condition of our heart. So as we begin this investigation into Proverbs on speech, with the psalmist we say, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And to search our hearts, we're going to look at 10 ways of speaking foolishly from the book of Proverbs, which the book of Proverbs addresses. And the first example of the fool's speech is the lying tongue. Proverbs 6:16 says, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him." And one of those things the Lord hates is in verse 17, and it's the lying tongue. The Lord hates lying. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Lying breaks the ninth commandment of God's holy law. And Proverbs hammers home that this sin of lying in many ways, including in legal matters. And here's one verse of many, Proverbs 14:5. "An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies." And it's not just witnesses that should avoid lying, but those in charge of the legal system. In Proverbs 16:10, "The lips of a king speak an oracle, and his mouth does not betray justice." The king, or in our case, the government, is instituted by God, and they must deliver justice. So when it comes to legal matters, truth matters. Lying in the workplace is also addressed in Proverbs. In Proverbs 21:6, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Lying is the way of the fool, yet truth is the way of the wise. Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." And 24:26, "An honest answer is a kiss on the lips." The devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the way and the truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. Wisdom in Christ is being people of the truth, and we need to be honest in our speech. And the second example of the fool's speech is the mocker or scoffer, and we see that in Proverbs 29 verse 8. And I've got them all up here, all these Proverbs, because we're flicking through a few. So Proverbs 29:8, mockers stir up a city, but the wise turns away anger. And Proverbs 13 verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Scoffers and mockers are those in rebellion against God and his wisdom. Now, this is how one dictionary describes the word scoffer or mocker. A person who mocks or makes fun of someone or something, often a religion or moral values. A mocker mocks God. A mocker mocks his ways. They scoff at scripture and scoff at what is sacred. Now, you may remember the chief priests, the scribes and the elders and many others mocked and scoffed at Jesus while he hung on the cross. And in Proverbs, the scoffers and mockers were stirring up the city. They are fools in rebellion, causing a riot. Mocking or scoffing is for the enemies of Christ, and they will be prevalent in the last days, according to 2 Peter. Any form of mocking or scoffing should not be part of a Christian speech. And nor should the third form of foolish speech, which is gossiping. Interestingly, there are two types of gossips presented in Proverbs. An example of the first is in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, where it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Now, the word for gossip here means to slander. This person slanders away boldly. The gossip here talks openly and freely about people's secrets and things that they shouldn't be repeating about others. And, you know, they're bold, they are bad mouths, and they're almost unashamed. And this form of gossip's often a trap for perhaps the extroverted person. So one form of gossip is slander. And an example of the other form of gossip is in Proverbs 16:28, where it says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. And again, the word gossip here means to whisper. It's often translated whisper in many translations. And it's very different to the open slanderer. Then the introvert might like this form of gossip because they don't have to sort of blurt out their gossip in boldly in big groups. They can just whisper their gossip quietly. This person can mouth off their poison to one person at a time. You know, they can sneakily spread around people's details with the idea of harming another person. From one person to another, they work the crowd, or sadly, work their way around the Lord's church. So whether it's open slander or this sneaky whispering, both forms of gossip are an evil form of speech. In Romans 1, gossip or slanderers sit alongside other detestable sins, and it's a description of the unsaved under God's wrath. Gossip, like all sin, grieves the Holy Spirit. It tears churches apart, destroys relationships between us, and it is so unattractive to the unbelieving world. However, as we apply this, we must not get gossip mixed up with, you know, simply sharing news. For example, if you run into a friend and they tell you that, you know, so-and-so is engaged to be married, yeah, that's of course not gossip, that's just sharing news. I mean, some people are, you know, these are, you know, extroverted social butterflies, they have heaps of contacts and therefore they have heaps of news to share, and that's great, that's not gossip to share all this good news. So how do we know when we are gossiping? Well, the Hebrew word translated as gossip in the Old Testament is defined as one who reveals secrets. And gossiping is revealing secrets to people who have no right to know. Usually the information is based around a fault of someone, something negative or shameful the person has done. Sometimes it's associated with a gossiping person's unforgiveness. Other times it's just them rejoicing in evil or, you know, having the pleasure of pulling someone else down. And a helpful guide to know if you're gossiping is this. You know, how would you feel if the person you're talking about heard what you were saying or walked into the room where you're sharing this news? And another guide to whether you're gossiping that's I find helpful is the person I'm about to share this news with someone that has the right to know? You know, as in, is this person part of the solution to sorting out this issue? Therefore, it's not wrong to share truthful things to those who have a right to that information, like a doctor or police or a counsellor or a pastor. And Proverbs' advice when it comes to gossip and stopping its negative impact on a family or a church, well, the advice is pretty simple. Don't do it. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. The fourth form of foolish speech is talking too much. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Now, talking a lot is not sin in and of itself. You know, having great fellowship with someone or godly conversations for hours, it's not a problem. But the danger is this. When you talk heaps and don't spend time listening, the chances of falling into sin increases. Maybe it will be gossip or boasting or flattery or idle talk. Maybe it will be self-centeredness because you never let others talk. Never let others talk. By talking lots, you may show a lack of love because you're disinterested in the other person. Ever share something important with someone and they go straight into babbling on about themselves? You know, rarely do you feel bad for holding your tongue and listening. But how often do you say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? As the saying goes, a turtle lays 100 eggs without anyone knowing, and when a hen lays an egg, the whole country's informed. Are you more like the turtle or a bit more like the hen? There's a poem of about an owl. It goes like this. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like the wise old bird? Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Talking too much can be a problem, but also talking too soon. The fifth form of foolish speaking is talking too soon, and we get that from Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. And Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. You know, there's probably a good reason why God created our minds to process information at a higher speed than we can talk. It's so that we can think before we speak. Talking too soon can be rude, can be cutting people off, and talking before you think can lead to much sinful speech. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Next, quarrelling from Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to one's honour to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Quarrelling is another church destroyer. After addressing the tongue in James chapter 3, he addresses quarrelling. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:23, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. You know, if you're spending time at a church gathering and, you know, you don't want to be there arguing over sport, which is the best sport, which is the best football code. I mean, we all know AFL is. Just joking, it was a joke. It's all right, in New South Wales, if I'd have said that, I would have got a bigger reaction. Don't have anything to do with the foolish and stupid arguments. You know, vaccination issues might divide a community, but they shouldn't divide a church. You know, a yes vote or a no vote in a voice to parliament may divide the community, may divide the community very soon, but it shouldn't divide us as the church. We mustn't quarrel about minor issues and non-gospel issues in the church, and that includes minor doctrinal issues. And being a Presbyterian minister, I know all about that one. And the seventh area in which we can use our speech foolishly is in flattery. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattery is different to encouraging. One is evil, one is godly. To flatter has the idea of being smooth with the tongue. The word is used in conjunction with the adulterous woman in Proverbs when she uses smooth talk and deception. Flattery is often insincere talk with ulterior motives. Those who flatter are not at all concerned with the truth. They are people pleasers. They are manipulators. They're people pleasers like the false prophets of Israel, who would flatter the Israelites all the time with words to tickle their ears and wouldn't challenge their sinful actions. Peace, peace, they'd go. No harm will come on you, said the false prophets in their flattery. Well, Lamentations 2:14 tells us the visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity. They used flattery instead of speaking the truth. And number eight, perverted speech. Now, Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Proverbs 19:1, better the poor whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. The Lord hates perverse speech. To fear the Lord is to hate perverse speech. And you only have to switch on the TV to get an example of perverted speech. And many of us hear perverse speech every day in our workplaces. There's the swearing, the blasphemy, the sexual language, the racist innuendos and the gossip and the lies. You know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Perverse speech reveals a crooked heart and it has no place on our lips. And number nine in our list of sins of the tongue is a cursing tongue, from Proverbs 20:20. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. The sin of the tongue breaks yet another one of God's holy commandments here, whereby we are to honour our father and our mother. The consequences of cursing a parent is utter darkness. At this time in history, under Israel's law, this could mean your lamp is snuffed out by being stoned to death. Or being put into utter darkness could also be the result of divine retribution. Or it could be the natural result of your folly, whereby you reap what you sow. Either way, to curse your parents is a sin of the tongue to avoid. Even if your parents have done wrong, don't curse. Don't curse. Instead, use your tongue to pray, speak forgiveness, and then leave room for God's wrath. For it's God's place to judge and to curse, not as. But it's not just parents we're to avoid cursing. James says in James 3:9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, With it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So we don't commit this sin. What does it mean by to curse? Now, cursing generally refers to invoking harm or desiring misfortune or divine judgment upon others. It is to speak and wish and pronounce disaster upon someone else. Yet a curse can only work if there's power to deliver it. You know, an evil person has no power to deliver, for example, a curse on a godly man or woman. That is why the godly shouldn't be afraid of being cursed. Proverbs explains this in Proverbs 26, verse 2. It says, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. God, however, does have the power to curse. I mean, Jesus cursed a tree and it died. God cursed the earth following the fall. God, as a judgment, unleashed many a curse upon Israel in the promised land. And Galatians 3:10 tells us, if you break God's holy law, you're under a curse. This means if you curse your parents or commit any sin with your tongue, you're under a judgment curse. You see, the wages of sin is death. To break God's holy law is to be under God's curse and cast into utter darkness. And I don't know about you, but when you look at these sins, these named sins of the tongue, I mean, I don't come out sort of rubbing my chest. In fact, I come out beating my chest, crying, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, looking at the sins of the tongue in Proverbs reminds me of the prophet Isaiah, who was caught up in this vision of the Lord, and he caught this glimpse of the holiness of God. In Isaiah 6:5, he goes, woe to me, I cried, I'm ruined from a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. You know, woe to me, I cried, woe to me, I cried, woe to me, I'm lost, I'm ruined. I'm under conviction and judgment of God. And what was his conviction? From a man of unclean lips. You know, we all stumble, we all sin in this area of the mouth. Yet it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. Therefore, we need our heart cleansed and thus our mouths. And where do we find this cleansing, this new heart? How can salt water springs become fresh again? You look to the perfect man, Jesus Christ. His heart was as pure as heaven, and his tongue just spoke the very words of God. What does 1 Peter tell us? Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. No deceit. Jesus was the only one who never uttered a wrong word. Yet he was the victim of deceit of mankind's tongue. You know, there was false witnesses at his trial. Jesus was a victim of lies and slander. They scoffed at him and mocked Jesus. Crucify him, they shouted. Yet this was all part of God's plan to have him die to purify our poisonous tongue. Jesus was cursed to set us free from the curse of sin, death, and the law. Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. The good news here is there is forgiveness in Jesus for the uncontrolled tongue. Not just for the new believer, but for his disciples. I'll give you some examples. Peter's tongue confessed Jesus as the Messiah, you know, the Son of the living God, and then he denied Jesus with curses. Yet through faith and repentance, he was forgiven. He repented and his tongue was used to declare the gospel boldly to countless men and women. John said, little children love one another. Yet at one time he wanted to bring down fire from heaven upon a Samaritan village. Yet through faith and repentance, John was forgiven. And we too can be forgiven. These disciples received forgiveness and they in turn used their tongues wisely for God's glory. And the last one, the last point, is a reckless or rash tongue. I remember a friend telling me about his concern for his mother in Sydney as she was getting beyond driving. And he said she'd be driving along oblivious to the destruction she was causing. Now, he may have been exaggerating, but he said she'd be driving along and there'll be other cars swaying to miss her. You know, there'd be other cars hitting the brakes and she would just keep driving down the road. She'd fail to stop at stop signs and give way signs. And cars were just going everywhere. She was oblivious to the danger she was causing. And maybe there is someone here, maybe there's someone here that's oblivious to the danger they're causing with their mouths. I asked another pastor once about pastoral problems in the church, and I said, what sort of percentage do you reckon is caused by the tongue in his church? And he said, probably 40% of pastoral issues. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword. Or in Proverbs 12:18 ESV, it says, rash words are like sword thrusts. I grew up with a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I think maybe the comedian Eric Idle's version has a bit more truth to it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will make me go into a corner and cry by myself for hours. We've all been a victim of someone's words. We've all used words that have cut deep into someone else's heart. For the perpetrator, there needs to be words of sorry, confession, repentance, and faith. For the victims, there needs to be words of forgiveness. Words are powerful. They pierce like a sword. They're like sword thrusts. But Proverbs 12:18 also says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. In 15:23, it says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. In Proverbs 16:24, it says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. You know, no man can tame the tongue, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can use our words not to tear down, but to encourage and build others up. He can use our words to be words in season, to be like honeycomb, to bring sweetness to the soul and health to the body. As we speak the word of God in a people's lives, the words of the wise bring healing, restoration, hope, and blessing. As speech can take on many forms, let's pray our speech can be full of wisdom and not foolish. So let's do that now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've shown us from the book of Proverbs, a book on wisdom and how to live in this world in a godly way, how to use our tongue and how not to use our tongue. We pray, Father, as a church, as the people of God, that you'll take this truth and indeed plant it deep in us. We pray, Father, that you'll help it to renew our minds, to remind us afresh of the need to use our tongue wisely. And Father, we pray that we'll be a people that bring words of healing to many, that we'll be a blessing to all those that we speak to, and that you'll use us in a wonderful way in that regard. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.